This is the Levels Podcast. I'm Justin Hoddle, joined by the Triple OG, Whitamy Mason OG. It is round six preview time, mate. And we were just chatting before the show. A couple of days ago, looked like a pretty quiet week in the NRL world, but a lot has happened in the last 24 hours.
The soap era continues. You know what I mean? You can't even, you know, every time you're looking on your phone, you're looking at NRL, you're looking at all these other little handles. It's like, man, nothing's happened. Last 24 hours, everything bang, bang, bang. It's just like, there's no point even trying to get topics, right? Until today or last night.
Well, it's nice we spread our show out, isn't it? Like last year we were Monday, Wednesday pod, and sometimes it's a little bit too cranked and feel like, hump day. Hump day is when stuff happens. Wednesday, maybe people get a little bit bored. Footy's not around.
Yeah.
They're getting edgy because news just seems to be flowing.
No, we've timed it well. Monday and Thursday is the best days, I reckon. That's when the shit happens.
Yep. So shit did happen yesterday. Mel Meninga is the priority candidate for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, according to James Hooper from Fox Sports. So that'll be one of the main topics we address. Also, the Seagulls have told Josh Schuster he is free to look for another club. So we'll address that. Yeah. We've also got team lists. We've got a few good questions. We've got some YouTube replies.
Yep.
Got a few punters that hit me up in the comments, not only on YouTube, but they were chasing me all the way on Instagram. They weren't happy about my Robbo and Brad Arthur take. So I'm going to explain that a little bit more.
They get you all the way on the DMs.
They jumped on the Daily Cherry Evans post and were hammering me about my Robbo take. So I liked it. Look, everything that we
– your take,
it's
mate.
My take, my opinion. But I feel
start
like –
start your own fucking show.
I feel like I need to explain that one a little bit more. I need to explain that one a little bit more. Remember, for everyone that's been following for the, last 15 months, they would have known that Lukey has the fight of his life coming up against the Paw Patrol, baby.
Yeah.
Up in the Gold Coast, April 27th. Me and Mace will be up there and be in the corner of our little mate. And I know he's getting into it now. He's starting to get some reps. So if you want to get involved or follow the event, go on to Alpha Events Co. on Instagram. Me, Lukey, and Mace are also discussing. We're going to be doing maybe just like a – We'll go and attend a pub before up on the Goldie, and then if anyone wants to come and meet us and then go to the fight together.
Okay.
Me and Mace have the golf day the day before, so we'll get up to Goldie about roughly around lunchtime.
Yep.
And then we'll get into it. We'll go have a few schooners somewhere.
I'm not going to a fight sober.
Make sure we're maybe we start doing some shadow boxing in and around Gold Coast somewhere.
You got any good suggestions, people? Slide in the DMs. Yeah, tell us where to go.
What was that, Lukey?
Pay-per-view's available.
And pay-per-view is available now, so if you want to see Lukey
just terrorize him.
Knock this Paw Patrol guy out.
See ya.
It's fucking on. Want to thank everyone who has subscribed lately. We are absolutely pumping at the moment, Mace. I've got a question for you. We're at 22.7 now. So we're
on YouTube.
So we're basically jumping at about 200 or 300 per week, maybe even a little bit more. So you're flying. Really good numbers. What's our target before Origin?
Oh, when's that? Origin 10 weeks?
Anywhere between 8 to 10.
Jeez, I reckon if we can get to 25.
25's the target?
25 would be nice, yeah.
All right, nice. 25 would be nice. Everyone who's just we've had I've seen a few comments, people that have been following us for ages and not even realised that they hadn't subscribed yet. So make sure you tell a mate. Go follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok, subscribe on Apple and Spotify and leave us a podcast review. And while you're at it, thank you to everyone who has been organically reviewing the BSE supplements. I know the bars and the energy drinks have been flying at the moment. If you haven't tried the energy drinks at the yet, they have 160 grams of caffeine, no sugar, no carbs, and that has to test it. And again, stuff like that really helps us out for the show as well, guys. So if you are indeed pumping the BSC supplements, anything to do with BSC, let us know. Tag us on Instagram. Lukey will make sure he reposts it on Levels Network because they support us and we appreciate you supporting us as well. So we want to support them back.
Nice.
Let's get to the YouTube replies, mate. So like I said, people weren't happy with me comparing Brad Arthur to Trent Robinson.
Yeah, right. Now, what was your take again?
So the take was basically around have Brad Arthur and Trent Robinson maybe spent too long with the current playing group that they got, right? Remember how I was saying –
that's not a bad take.
You know how the message can go
– stale.
Sort of out – go stale in one ear, out the other. Now, I also did mention – so this one's from CJH, and I think he might have been the guy that chased us on Instagram. Brad Arthur is not even in the same league as Robbo. That's a shit take. He won 3 grand finals in that time. back to back. Brad Arthur has played in one, and they didn't even make the eight last year. That's ridiculous. The next one is, I love listening to Scopes.
Is that from a Rooster supporter?
Of course. I love listening to Scopes' utter hate of the Chooks, trying to say he hasn't done anything in 10 years. I must have dreamed a back-to-back. Well, you must have dreamt the part where I mentioned that they'd won back-to-back grand finals. And my take on it, I'm not comparing them as coaches, and I think people are really underrating what Brad's done.
You were comparing the message, weren't you?
The message.
The message, not the coaching ability, not the grand finals. It's the message. It's the 10-year message.
Yep.
Is it as effective in the 10th year or the 3rd or 4th year?
Correct.
That's it. And that's remember, the take.
And like you even chipped in and go, look, I'm sure they respect him. And I wanted to be clear that I believe the playing groups all respect both coaches, but the fear factor that Craig Bellamy, Wayne Bennett's of the world, even Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky's got that.
That's probably his strongest suit, right? Mm. The fear factor. Does Brad Arthur and Trent Robinson have that with the playing groups? We'll find out in the next couple of weeks, because for me, there are two clubs that have been underperforming in the last year and five games.
Mm.
And my biggest thing, if you're pissed off at me as a Roosters fan for being critical of the Roosters, and people think I've got an agenda with the Roosters because of the 13 grand final.
Yeah, but you don't.
I could care. No. As in, I wanted to win that grand final, but
it's fucking 11 years ago.
So think about this. If you're getting angry at me for being critical of the Roosters and Robbo, and no disrespect to you and the Bulldogs, Mace, do you think they should have been down 26-0 against the Bulldogs in those conditions with the lineup they had compared to the Bulldogs? And they currently have the same amount of wins as that roster at the Bulldogs. Mm. And we can all agree that the Bulldogs are a rebuilding roster. They're trying to figure themselves out. On the Roosters side of things, they have James Tedesco before he got knocked out, Joseph Manu, Joseph Swalee, Dom Young, Daniel Tupou, Luke Keary, Sam Walker, Jared Rea-Hargraves, Victor Radley, Lindsay Collins, Brandon Smith. Do you want me to keep going? Right. Angus Crichton. That list, and this is my point, this is why I'm critical of the Roosters and not the Bulldogs as much or the Tigers as much or the Raiders as much. It's the roster's too good. Now, if you're – again, if I keep going back to the point, if you're a Roosters fan getting angry at me being critical of the Roosters, it's because they've got literally everything that you'd be looking for in a team, but they're underperforming in my opinion.
I said a couple of weeks ago before, like when they dusted up South, I'm like, that's the team that could possibly beat the Panthers. I always compare like 1 to 17, if they all play to their potential.
Yep.
I look at the Panthers and go, yeah, they're probably going to get in the grand final again. And then you got the Roosters to play who plays to their potential and gels as a team. If they figure it out, they're going to be very hard to beat.
Yep.
Might be this little bit of a teething sort of problem that's still going on from last year. They end up jagging a few wins last year, getting in the finals, and then they save a pretty dismal year for those guys. They had to fucking work really hard the back end. Then they won the first semi final, got in the second round of playoffs.
They beat the Sharks.
So everyone thought, fucking hell, thank God. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, people would have been pointing the finger at a lot more severely right now at Robbo.
Yeah, for
sure.
Because
he got them in the playoffs. They won a playoff game. And now this year, they've still got that same roster.
It's a good point because you remember, right? They beat the Sharks. Sharks should have beat them because they were running out of troops in that game. So it was a great wing. That would have, you know, like
gritty.
This is why me and you both had the Roosters in our top four, I believe, this year to finish top four.
Yeah.
So off the back of those performances, remember how they go down to Storm in the very last minute with a Cameron Munster crossfield kick to Will Warbrick, I think. So you're looking at that going, fuck, the Roosters figured it out at the back end of the season. They've got the cattle. There should be no excuses for the Roosters. And we have both picked them in our top four. So when I become critical on the Roosters, that's the reason why. I always try to say
just because of the talent. It's the talent. And that's why I like
people. And Robbo. I believe in Robbo as a coach. Yeah.
People aren't as harsh on the bottom four, bottom six teams because of the simple fact that the roster is not there. You're not looking at a top four roster when you look at the bottom four, bottom six side. You're like, yeah, they'll battle. If everything goes right and everyone has career years, you might make the eight.
Yeah.
That's the mindset, right?
Yep.
Not that roster, Parramatta's roster, that's what people are harsh on both those clubs because the rosters are top four rosters.
Yes.
That's the only reason why, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just giving my opinion. But, like, that's why the critics, the analysts of the game are coming out and having a crack at them, yeah, right?
And it's the same as South Sydney, right?
Yeah, too. And South, are they harsh on South too? Because when you have a Latrell Mitchell, when you have a Cody Walker, when you have a Damien Cook, when you have a Cameron Murray in your side, you're expected to win games, right? So when you don't have the cattle, then no one really gives a shit. Yeah, you've had a good year. What a what a surprise packet this team was. Blah blah blah. But when you have the fucking that 17 that you just named before you, when you name Parramatta's 17, and then all a couple other teams, you're like underperformed.
Yes.
Then they start coming at the coaches. Then people can start getting sacked. Look what's happened to South. It's a fucking cutthroat game, mate.
It's a great point you brought up. I'm just thinking about it now. If Roosters don't put a band-aid over their middle part of the season, start of the season last year.
Yeah.
Essentially, Roosters are in a similar position, probably not as much because they didn't drop as many games. They had to fight hard to get into the finals, right? But the biggest criticism of Jason Demetriou and the Rabbitohs this year has been, I know they're only one win from the season. People wouldn't have mattered or cared as much if they'd finished stronger at the back end of the season. But everyone keeps referring back to they've only won one game since August last year. So Roosters did a good job of fighting out of this rut that they were in mid-season to late last season. Winning a playoff, winning a finals game, putting up a really good fight against the Storm.
Yep.
So people were giving
it's a pass.
But then eventually, my questions and my criticism and where the drama I think might unfold is if they don't get results soon enough,
because they keep this roster on because they had a few injuries last year. Sam Walker got dropped a few once last year. People were out of form, injuries, and so everyone went, okay, they fixed their season, savored something, got to the second round, sweet. Now, full preseason, no injuries, everyone's on board.
Yep.
Now that they expect stuff. Yep. Roosters supporters do, the fans do, and I do. I think they'll come good. They need, they need to really figure it out, the halves. They look very disjointed.
Especially after they started so well against the Broncos too. Yeah. You know, they looked great against the Broncos round one.
Just need to give the they need to sort it out with the Keary and the Walker thing, man.
Yep, I agree. So there you go. The YouTube question for this week. This one's from Hogs One. Sup, boys. L1 since day one with a heap of teams bringing back some old school jerseys. What are your top three or five jerseys of all time? So you talked about seeing the OG jerseys there.
I like that one. I liked our one. It looked good. Tighter. Look better as well. Ours are bloody triple XLs.
Yeah, yeah. What about the old Warriors jerseys look sick?
Warriors.
The 95 retro Warriors jerseys, like the day one jerseys, look mad. Yep.
You can't go with the Roosters. Roosters have always been traditional. Yep. Same as South, so you can't go anywhere near them. You got to go with the Warriors one, that OG one, the one that they rolled out in 95 was one of the best. I had a jersey like that in when I was 15. I wanted that jersey, even though my dad forced me to go for St. George.
Yeah,
and I secretly went for Canberra. I just wanted that Warriors jersey because it looked cool.
Yeah, it did. It's good colours game, mate.
Yeah, it's good, man. They get they've always got good. Their marketing team's amazing over there. I think I don't mind the Canberra one. The old Woodges one. I think that's just probably nostalgic. The one in 94 when they won.
The milk jersey?
Yeah, the milk. Canberra milk. Yeah. I like it when they roll that one out.
Yeah.
Who else? I don't mind the Bulldogs one. When we have the stripes and when we wore the black shorts and the blue stripes around, I love that one on us.
Yeah.
That's always a cool one.
Some of the teams going back a little bit to the 90s. Some of the old Knights, Joey's Knights 97 jerseys is pretty I suppose it goes back to the moments, right? But like I know the Knights have kept the same sort of scheme, but like I forget what their sponsor was now, but it was
Henny Penny.
Was that it? That was it?
Impulse Airlines, I think it was.
I can't remember what it was, but I've got something for you, and I think this is something that we should have implemented into the game a long time ago, and this is a way of doing it. So the old school jerseys, every team bring back a heritage jersey for a round, whether it be just say if you do it, I suppose you could do it in the same round, but also maybe doing you could only
just one round, heritage round. Do they do that?
No, they don't. So a few of the teams just bring it back at the start of the year for.
Did you like the Broncos one? I didn't mind. Did you like
Broncos one's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that was all right. It looked good.
So I think the Bulldogs brought it back for your 20-year anniversary. The Warriors would, wanted to focus around the OG. They might have had some sort of meaning behind it. But what if they do this and this kills two birds with one stone? A heritage jersey that you bring out for one round, I think these would sell. And for that one round, for that heritage jersey, name and number on it. as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So you get a fucking Heritage Sean Johnson jersey with a 7 and Johnson on it.
Yeah.
And cap the numbers, so this is where you don't end up with a shitload of stock. Maybe you have specific players, and no disrespect to anyone else in the team.
Yeah. But Sean Johnson, give him 200.
You have a shitload of Sean Johnson jerseys. You have a shitload of RTS jerseys. You have a shitload of Wade Egan jerseys, Adam Fanil Blakes. You maybe pick 5 or 6 players from that team. And, you know, based off their popularity in the teams or a poll.
That's what NFL do.
Yeah.
They only sell a certain amount of players. You know what I mean? You don't have a 52-man roster team with all their jerseys.
Yeah.
You got the QB, you got the main guys on defense, offense, and that's fucking it. That's all that sells. And they know what sells.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The club should know. It'd be easy money, mate. Easy money grab.
Yeah, it'd be easy for you to pick the players, right, in every team.
Because supporters will buy that shit.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good idea for the Heritage round. Put the names and number on them. So tell the sponsors we're going to do a Heritage jersey that's a throwback for one round only. Name and number. Bang.
Clubs got ideas, man.
I reckon they sell the shit out of them. This one is from Geo Met. Gents, love the show. Great to listen whilst at the gym. Let's talk Jack Whiten. Is it safe to say that he would have regrets about his move? As an ex-player, tell us how you would feel leaving your best mates and longtime coach and mentor to join a rival club full of stars in the hopes of winning premiership in your final years in the game for the club to explode and implode at the same time.
Yeah, it'd be hard for Jack. I really feel for him because he's playing some actually good football.
He's trying his ass off.
He's coming in. If they ever kick down his side, he's one of those first ones, play twos or threes, and he's just back fencing it like Val Holmes is.
Mm.
That's what you want to see from your centre. He's your marquee player. What else can you do? He's made that decision, and he's going to live with it. He's not, and it's only early days now. Mm. You know what I mean? They might change coaches. They might do this. Might be a little bit of a shuffle, but like he will still play his best football.
Yeah,
he will still be happy. He knew the decision he was making, and he's got to live with it. It's not a bad. Who said it's a bad decision? It might look bad right now.
It looks bad now.
But who cares? Let's talk in 6 months. Let's talk in 2 years. Like he signed a 3 or 4 year deal there. Like he's going to have success there. I think he's playing great football.
Yeah, he would be – it's a work in progress for sure, that left edge. And I know Demetria hasn't made the change yet. There's been chats about moving him to the halves. I think his best position with the club is the centres, but that was also with the mindset I didn't believe Lachie List deserved to be dropped.
Yeah.
He wasn't the problem for me. I think there were a few other issues, but we'll get to the coaching. I think – our take on the coach.
Yeah.
I think me and you are different on this as well too, by the way. So we'll get into that and I think that'll explain it a little bit more. This one's from...
But sorry, how would you feel? Like, I don't think it's a failure for Jack.
Not yet.
And he's not looking at Canberra going, fuck, I wish I was back in Canberra.
It'd be nice.
I don't know. Like, if he'd love to win more. Of course, he wouldn't like the blowtorch on him because he's not. He hasn't experienced anything like that. He's in Canberra.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit. Do you know what I mean? Like... The only Canberra people love Canberra. It's like being in Newcastle. They love the Newcastle team. They support. He's in the fucking middle. He's in the side where they get the most controversy and all the bad media scrutiny.
It's probably them,
the Roosters, Bulldogs, Roosters. Para.
Yeah.
You cop it. You're in the melting pot here.
Yep.
That's probably what he's not used to.
Yep.
So, but he's got a great family life, right? So he can separate that shit. He's a smart kid, Jack. He'd be like, football's here, life's here.
He also said, though, arriving at the start of the year, one part of moving to Sydney was the reluctancy to be involved in the fishbowl of rugby league.
And it is a fishbowl.
That's why he loved Canberra because he was just out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. He's a country boy. He's not here, mate. He's a family man.
He's playing in a marquee club, blue chip club, foundation club.
Yeah.
People care when you play bad. People care when you play good.
Yeah. I love the way he stuck up for Latrell too.
He's a stand-up dude, mate. He's a man.
Whatever way you think about Latrell of the issues that are there and he's going to have the break. I love what they're trying to pepper him. There's a guy who stuttered when he said, I don't know if you've seen this, mate, but he basically asked him, interviewing Jack? Yeah, he asked about Latrell and he goes, oh, you can ask Latrell. And he goes, oh, well, you're one of his best mates. And he goes, yeah, well, if I'm one of his best mates, then I'm not going to throw him under the bus. But the guy started to stutter as he said it as well.
I love that, Jack.
Jack Whiten's the guy you'd love to go to war
stand
with.
Stand up, dude.
This last one is from Tyson Bennett. I've got a question for May specifically. Bulldog Richie has criticised Ricky Stewart for standing down Jared Croker before his 300th game, told Benji the hours he's supposed to work, and told JD to grow a backbone. Since he knows everything, do you think he is the man to replace JD?
I just wonder why. Like, I get it with, like, you know, like Bulldog Richie is a, well, I know him right. He used to write for The Telegraph, right? Yep.
Does he still do it?
Yeah, he probably does, yeah. Like he does that and you respect him for that. You write articles and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
That's what your realm is, right? Write stories on people, good stories, bad stories, whatever. You're a fucking writer.
Yeah.
You're not an analyst of the game, mate. Mm. That's the thing. That's the problem. I don't mind Bulldog Richie as a person. Mm. Like I see him there, I'll shake his hand and whatever. I don't have beef with him at all. But
how
like,
did
just
you get
stay...
Bulldog Richie too, by the way?
I think because he looks like a bulldog.
Is it? I thought it was because he's a like I thought he was a terrier, like the articles that he wrote.
Maybe a little
bit
of both.
That's it? Yeah.
No, it looks like a bulldog. He always acts like a bulldog.
He's willing to get into
a little savage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just see and he sometimes the analysts need to stay in their lane. Like you can't critique Benji at coaching. You know, you can't tell other players how to do this, and you know, like stand people down, and like you just write articles. You know what I mean? They get on this TV. It's a little bit of an ego, right? I think they're fucking, they're whatever they say is fucking worth something. Mm. Little bit of weight. Doesn't hold fucking anything. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Your stories, yeah? You're an article writer. Write that shit. Like Buzz and Kent and all these blokes, they get on TV and they think they're fucking superstars. You know what I mean? And players don't give a fuck what they say, right? And neither do coaches and neither do anyone. Like, but I think because Fox Sports giving them a bit of a fucking platform, they get up there and they can say whatever they want. Reedy and they all sit around with Braith. Braith probably wants to fucking knock them all out. Doesn't
love you, Braith.
Yeah, we love Braith. But I look at that show. I can't cop that. Like they're trying to fucking run the game. Just write articles. They're good at that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other things, analyzing games and trying to critique the game, shut up. Honestly, just don't do it.
I seen something in the Punters and Dribblers page, which is always pretty funny to have a look at every now and again, and that's the boys at Hello Sports.
Yeah.
Someone said, write an article, might not necessarily be true. Then everyone reacts to the article, and then you've got your story, and then rinse and repeat. And that's basically –
what it is, mate. Like, and it's terrible. It's terrible journalism, you know what I mean? It's just like – and I said, I don't hate any of those journos. I just like – just stay in your lane, write stories, and let the football analysts – and when you get other guys on there, let Braith in that talk – let all the other football analysts, 40. Experts, when it says football NRL expert under your name, then you can fucking talk about players and everything like and how Benji should coach. If Wayne Bennett's on your show and he says something about Benji, holds a lot of weight.
Yeah, okay.
Not when Bulldog Richie says something. Just talk about – you know, just don't analyse the game. That's where punters and that just going, shut up, mate. Like everyone's just sick of your shit. Just fucking write your articles for The Telegraph, get on there, tell your stories, and then that's about it.
So to otherwise, the question, do you think Bulldog Richie coached South Sydney?
Well, he should be in contention. Russell Crowe should fucking actually give him a bit of time and say, what is your ideas? Can you tell JD how to coach?
All right, well, let's get to South Sydney's priority candidate. It's not Bulldog Richie, by the way. South Sydney Rabbitohs have identified Kangaroos coach Mel Meninga as the top candidate. In a left field bombshell development, Fox League, which is being written by James Hooper, learned that the Rabbitohs board has been presented with a shortlist of possible candidates. Mel, Madge and Benny Hornby, who's currently there within the four walls already. Fox League understands that the Bunnies will cut ties with Demetrio after South Sydney's round six clash regardless. When it was first reported that he had up until this game to fight for his job. One, do you think JD will be coach of South Sydney on Monday next week? And two, if not, do you think Mel is a good candidate? And if he is, if he's not, who coaches South Sydney? Yeah. A few questions there for you.
I'm just thinking, like, why would Mel want to coach? You know, like, I mean, has he got that itch again? Like, he coached Canberra early 2000s. I remember I was playing against that Canberra team.
Yep. I'll get that up for his last time coaching
was, you know,
club level.
Not that much success at club level. Obviously, a massive amount of success at a rep level.
Yep.
But that is not club level. You know, he had the best Queensland side of all time and he had the best Australian team of all time. One of. You know what I mean? Like I said, like, I think just dealing with club land is totally different. He's been dealing with the best, arguably the greatest players of all time during that span from 2006 to whatever it is now. Like he's dealt with the best players in the game.
I'm surprised by his record. It's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad. I think it's probably like 50%.
Last year was bad, 34%. He ends up getting shown the door. So yeah. Canberra Super League year, mind you, is that with Ricky still there? Yeah. Laurie, all those?
Oh, good.
Ruben
still,
Wiki,
still
Bradley
good.
Clyde. Yeah, so 57%. They won 12, lost 9. In 98, 99, he went really good. They had 16 wins, 10 losses in 98. And then it declined to 13 and 10 So how does that work out if you had 16, 20? Oh, they must have shortened the season. Year. Yep. So 99, 13 and 10. And then in 2000, bounced back again, 16 wins, 12 losses, 57%. Yeah. And then his last year, 26 games, he had 9 wins, 16 losses. So he had a rough go at the end.
My thing is why would Mal want to do that? Like, I think because he's been dealing with the best athletes and the best rugby league players since 2006.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that hard to coach those guys. You just got to manage egos, personalities, give them a bit of a game plan, and they just do it for you. The Australian team works like a fucking well-oiled machine. And when he had Queensland, they were fucking unbeatable,
yep.
right? And he had the best players. I don't know. He might be bored. Might be getting that itch. I want to fix South. I honestly don't think he really wants to coach. Just throwing his name up.
It doesn't necessarily.
I don't think
mean...
that. I'm not sure that he wants to coach. He's just throwing his name in there.
Well, there's been no chat from him
unless he's come out and go. I'm not believing it until Mal Meninga comes and goes. I want to be South Sydney's coach.
Okay, so that's
other than that, it's a load of shit.
Yeah, so that's important. This is reported from James Hooper. Now, I think it's reported that South are keen on Mel for the interim, right, to finish the season.
That'd be perfect then.
If that was the case, and this is like not confirmed by Mel because he's currently got, I think, 2 more years as Australian coach, goes all the way through to 2026. I like the idea of Mel for an interim. I do.
Yeah.
Because this is what I think. The problem with South Sydney is at the moment, they've got all the pieces still there, and they're as underwhelming as the Roosters is what we've been talking about at the moment. But the one thing that they sort of lack at the moment is any direction or in and around the club. So Mel, we can both agree, Mel's a legend of the game. He's an immortal. He's got a presence about him. Feel like that's what South Sydney need. The X's and O's they don't need. No. I mean, the left. So if you look at when anyone thinks about the South Sydney Rabbitohs, what do they think? That left side shape, stripping it down the outside. Now, they haven't had a problem, as bad as South Sydney have, they haven't really had a problem with that left side shape. The problem is when they've stripped teams apart, they've tried a banana kick in, or they've missed the last pass, or they fucked up. If you look back to the Broncos game specifically and Roosters, it's because they're chasing points. So what South Sydney have lost that they had with Wayne Bennett is someone being able to give them a rocket, you know, we don't have to score on every play. So when you do have that nice shape, it's not like teams have learned how to defend that left-hand shape. It's just South Sydney no longer have the patience in building to get into those spots to make sure they can have some joy. Yeah. So maybe Mel brings that. Maybe Mel holds them accountable in the video sessions.
If you know Mal Meninga, what he does have is presence, what you just said. He's a fucking scary motherfucker.
Mm.
And I don't think – JD has a presence and he can't control Cody Walker and he can't control Latrell.
Hmm.
I'm to tell you who can, Mal Meninga, one of the most highly respected humans who's ever played the game, and no one fucks with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Do you know what I mean? So when he says shit, it fucking holds a hell of a lot of weight. So if he'll pull anyone up and you will shit yourself.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you could be the hardest dude. You could be the biggest bloke, like the most undisciplined person in the world. You'll get pulled up by Mal, you're fucking done.
Yeah.
He'll shake you. You know what I mean?
It seems to me
they need that.
Yeah.
That's why I think Hoops might be on something. Obviously, Hoops is a good reporter. He must have a little bit there. If he comes into the interim trying to fix, you know, it's all about Latrell and Cody.
Yeah.
We've got to get those guys on the same page. They need a little bit of discipline. They need to respect the coach. Not saying they don't respect him, but it just comes off like that. They're running the joint there.
It come out of nowhere so much that it's like, you know, when it's so random that you think, oh, fuck, this must be the case, right? Because no one had – like we were all talking Wayne Bennett, Madge. Madge was tossed up, which is another one that people
can't,
you know.
Now.
Yeah, no, but like just say if maybe – because he doesn't have a long-term contract with New South Wales as well, and he hasn't even fucking coached for New South Wales at this point. So maybe he could have got through one series and then goes, oh, I'd like to become a club coach again. And I think that there's it's something he'd be interested in. Mm. I think he's probably got more of an itch than Mel to do it long term after he finishes Origin. But it come from left field so much that it makes me think that it probably there is something to it.
Only because of the fact that the weight that it's Mal Meninga, right? And they need to find respect for their coach again and the system and everything like that. Change the culture. He's that dude. Mal's that dude, man. And they're not dumb trying to get him.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for the interim, trying to save us something for this year.
Yeah. And look, I feel like they'd be looking for someone long term moving forward, but you – Do you agree with me? The problem isn't the X's and O's, which isn't Mel's strong point.
Mate, Ben Hornby and all these other assistant coaches, they can do all that.
They can run the show.
Mal Meninga just needs to be Mal Meninga.
Yes. Hold people accountable.
Just be him.
Be in video sessions, standing there like a presence. Ben Hornby's running through video sessions.
Dude,
man. Mel's just standing there looking at it, going like quiet. No one's, you know, like those are things that probably you'd know this better than me, that everyone talks about Wayne. Wayne wasn't a massive X's and O's guys, but if he's sitting there in video just
sitting there.
Just watching video like that and you know you're fucked up, you're gone.
He's not even watching the video. The video's behind him. He just he's sitting there like, looking at you. Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, so interesting to see how that plays out. It seems like he would be the interim coach anyway for the rest of the season for 2024, regardless of whether the Rabbitohs can put up a performance against the Sharks anyway. So topic two, the Seagulls have told polarising forward Josh Schuster he is free to look for another club. Schuster is currently playing reserve grade on a whopping $800,000 per season, and that's extended for 3 years last year. The 22-year-old was put back in the forwards this season by Manly coach Anthony Seibold after failing to bid. Yeah, Seibold confirmed to Fox Sports, confirmation from Seibold himself on Wednesday that he has given Schuster permission to find another club. So, one, do you think Josh Schuster leaves or digs his heels in? Two, what's your price for Josh Schuster right now and how much do you think Manly are going to have to chip in?
Yeah.
He ain't going to go anywhere for – go answer the first question.
This is not his problem, right? You know, like it depends how much he values money. If he prioritises money, he'll dig his heels in and he'll go, you know what, I'm going to get back in the side and you're going to have to play me. If he does, you know, if he wants all his money. Other than that, if he leaves, Manly's going to have to chip in at least 500.
Yeah, I think at least half. Yeah,
and then someone get him for about 150.
I think minimum four.
I'm thinking that, and then someone will throw him maybe 200.
Do you think
he'll end up with six?
No, I think a 4-4 split is because you got to look at the potential that he's got, right? Do you think teams are going to gamble for a 4-4?
People won't pay 400.
Okay.
No, I can. So if he can negotiate
5-3,
this is not his problem. This is Manly's problem. You want to sign a kid for 800 just on his because you think he's going to be good.
Yep.
That's your fault.
Mm.
This is not his fault. If he wants to, for me personally, if I was him, I'd be like, fuck this. I'm going to get fit as hell and prove to everyone that I am that dude and stay there. Because I'm telling you, the other teams aren't willing to pay that much money for him because he's shown in the last two or three years inconsistencies. They want that as a player. You want him to be consistent and going at it and a little bit of fucking resilience, playing bigger minutes, all this sort of stuff. So coaches are sitting there going, he hasn't proven anything to me.
Yeah.
I'm paying this kid on just like what he can be, not what he is.
Yeah.
And I hated that because I'll be fucking staying at Manly, pay me every single fucking cent and I'm going to get back into first grade and then we'll talk about it at the end of the year.
You know why that doesn't happen, Mace? And you're putting priority on cash. Yeah. You never played New South Wales Cup after being – it's tough, mate. It's tough. And not a knock to the boys, but once you establish yourself in first grade, and I wasn't even like a star, but it's so hard when you go back down in New South Wales Cup, one, to stay motivated.
That would be hard. You lose
the energy of being in crowds. You're not playing with the same skill set that you played with in first grade. Yeah. So all these factors, mate, when you actually go back down and start playing New South Wales Cup – it just, you know, chips away. And like I said, because I was a different style of level of player, I knew that I had to sort of work hard and I couldn't sulk. If I sulked, then they'll just brush me.
Yeah.
Like my contract wasn't worth it. So when you say that he's sweet, he can just go click his paycheck, it's not as simple as that.
What do you do with him?
I think you're right.
Get as much money as you can out of Manly because it's their problem.
Yes.
It's their problem.
Yes.
Sit there for fucking 4 weeks, play reserve grade. Whatever. Oh, I've got a hamstring problem. You know what I mean? Like he can do that. He can do that and do side training, whatever he wants to do. There's things out there for him. I'm not going to play. I'll just turn up the training. You still got to pay me every single cent and then train your ass off on the side. Go do some fucking Roger Fabry sessions. But then just don't let him film it.
But then he's
I'm joking. I know. But I'm just saying there's things around it until Manly go, all right, we'll pay you 600, get 150 from another club. Then you got 750. You know what I'm saying?
It's very hard.
I don't – if I'm negotiating for Manly, I'm like, oh, I'll give you 300. He's like, fuck off.
So no, I think the other way. So I think it'll be a 4-4 to let him go and Manly would be put. It's similar to the Brooks situation, right? Remember how much money Brooks was on? And there were teams that were interested in Brooks, but they were unwilling to take the $1 million price tag that the Tigers had put on him. So, like, teams were going, you pay five, or the reports were teams were willing to take on Brooks for that last year or second last year or whatever it may be, but they wanted the Tigers to chip in for it. If you're really going to do it and you're going to have to go, all right, fuck it, we're going to have to hit this on the cap, I think a 4-4 split is reasonable for both parties. I've got three teams, I think, and they might surprise you.
No, I think a lot of teams would be surprised. Would be.
All right, who would be your teams willing to take him on? Do you want me to go my one first?
Go yours, yeah.
I'm going to go three teams that have really strong cultures that could do with taking on a player at that number,
mm-hmm.
and almost having a crack to see if they could their culture could bring the best out of him.
Melbourne,
Penrith Panthers, and the Warriors. Those three teams could – just say if you get a player of Josh Schuster's talent, but his biggest problem is
– I think he needs clubs like that, to be honest.
– is work ethic and all those sorts of things. Now, you're probably not going to play a three-year deal. I know Melbourne and Penrith and Warriors would never do that. But with whatever happened, if they were able to – I think all those three teams, if they were able to bring him in, harness his potential and create, put this work ethic and accountability you know, just being around in a winning culture and what it takes to be a winner, then he could potentially become Penrith in 2 years. People could view him as that 800,000 player that he is on.
Well, Luai's gone. If he just went there, like, and just learnt off the best how to train, how to play. Like, he's a 5'8", right, with a skill set's very high, and he can stick on that left side of the field. He doesn't like travelling on that other side.
No,
so he's a left side player predominantly. What does Luai play? Left side predominantly all the time.
Mm.
So if Penrith are fair dinkum, the skill set there, if you get the best out of Josh Schuster, he's a game winner.
It could be unders, right? 400, you know what I mean? 350 could be unders.
Like, he's not going to – if you're him, you're not going to go to a lower club, mate, that's going to
I wouldn't. If I was in a rebuilding club, I wouldn't touch him.
Very important decision for Josh Schuster. It could be career-defining or career-ending. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to – I want him to go to a good club. I want to see the success that he can actually have, because he's just shown us little bits, little glimpses, like, fuck – get that shit every week, kid, and you'll play for Australia. Yeah. Get that toughness in you. Get that, you know, start hanging around Liam Martin all fucking week.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, imagine him in the Penrith system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's left on right
against Liam Martin and Nathan Cleary every week.
Iron sharpens iron, just getting him better and better. Obviously, it's not working over there.
Yeah.
You know, the coaching could be different. It could be, yeah, I know something's not getting the best out of him.
And it might, and this isn't a knock on the man, because I think Manly are doing some good things, right?
It just doesn't suit him.
But because he's been a part of that system, sometimes a change is good for both. It's what I always said about Brooks as well. Like, if you look at the way – Brooks just looks happier at Manly.
Yeah.
And we said for 2 years, Brooks isn't the problem with the Tigers. The Tigers and the Tigers aren't doing a disservice to Brooks or vice versa. It's just they're not working at the moment together. And this is only earlier in his career, but I think Schuster could do it with
just
a change
advice,
as well.
Just advice for him. Just take your time with this. Mm. Don't get pressured by the media. Don't get pressured by the club. This is a fucking your decision, all right? You're in the power position, even though, like, they're saying you can have an immediate release. Don't fucking go straight away, man.
No way.
Have some very important meetings. I know that, but just with some big clubs that can make you a better player, better person, and get success. Don't go to a rebuilding club, mate. Go to those three teams that you just said.
Yep. Letting everyone know about my Levels Bets Friends special for this week. Eels-Cowboys game, I think this is going to be a score fest. Both these teams hate to defend, but they love to score. So yes. I'm going to go total points over 46.5, and I'll have Tom Chester to score in the first 60 minutes. He is replacing the injured Zach Labert. The traders have given us a price of $7.50 with a max bet of $25. So let's get into previewing.
All right.
The team's kicking it off Thursday night, or tonight actually. Newcastle Knights are at home to the Sydney Roosters at McDonald's Jones Stadium. Coach Adam O'Brien has selected the same 17 with making no changes, but on the extended bench, mate, we've got Greg Marzu. He has been named.
It's you.
All right, run us through the Roosters, mate.
Yeah, we've got Joey Manu, Toops, Jennings is starting.
Yep.
Sualii, Ponga.
Yep.
Connor Watson at 5'8".
Yep.
Luke Keary, half. Hargraves, Smith, Collins, Nat Butcher, Crichton, and Victor Radley. Zocca Clay, Nafa
Zocca
White. Clay.
Zach Docker.
Zach Docker Clay. Tupanua, Terrell May. So not a bad side.
Yep.
pretty solid. But I fucking like Newcastle.
Mm.
But then I look only because Teddy was out, and then I looked who replaces him.
He goes all right.
Joey Manu goes all right at fullback, and they're going to be pissed off.
So
I'm Roosters now.
Are you going Roosters?
I switched up.
Our partners at Tab have Newcastle Knights favourites at $1.58. Yeah. Roosters $2.40. The line is +4.5. So I'm gathering you like the +4.5, mate, because I'm with you. I'm going the Roosters, despite everything I said about Robbo this week. I'm going the Roosters +4.5.
God, I don't know.
And I love Joseph Manu at fullback, mate. So you give me him any time at fullback for $2.60, I'm going to take that. I like the Roosters +4.5, Joe Manu any time at $2.60 for my bet this week. But
it just shows. So just some, my mindset is they're a fucking old school team. They've got some tough heads in there, man, with Hargraves and Lindsay Collins and Victor Radley and, you know, like Joey Manu. They'll be filthy last week. So, you know, and all
it's
the
hard
shit,
form
and all the shit, I know it is, all the shit that's been said about the coach, all this, they love fucking Robbo.
Yeah.
Like, this would be for Robbo. Like,
I think
this,
I'm
this
the only
be
one spraying
there.
Robbo, to be fair.
No, there's some fucking,
there been
yeah,
other people?
I've seen some other people, like, just little murmurs are starting to appear. Okay. You know, they love him so much and have so much respect for him. I think they'll be like, you know what, fuck everyone. Mm. Be one of those games, man. Scale up the Newcastle, fucking hammer him. On their own ground.
You know what'll be interesting, and I said this before, I was on the potty with Kempy last week as well, and we were talking about this and see if this resonates with you. We've said it a couple of times now where the Roosters, you've never really seen Luke Keary and Sam Walker play a mad game together.
Never.
You know what I mean? Like where they've combined together. Sam Walker's had gun games. Yeah. Luke Keary looked outstanding last week once Sammy Walker – bless you, mate.
Yep.
Thanks. Once Sam Walker went off. So when Luke Keary missed that game with HIA, Sandon Smith, Sam Walker.
They looked unreal.
If Connor Watson and Luke Keary go well in this game and they look like they've got some sort of rhythm, I think that is, for me, going to explain what the issue is with the Roosters.
Yeah, clearly, because it's the blueprint's there. One has to go.
Mm, could be.
Who is it but? Sam Walker's 22 years old. Keary's probably closer to 30, I'm trying to say, trying to think.
Yeah, it'd be
been around for a minute.
Yeah,
played in 2014 grand final.
So you go with the guys who's won three comps.
Yeah, do you go with him or do you go with the future of the club? How hard is it to come?
It's a tough one.
And I think Keary, if they said, all right, mate, that's, you know, we're going to go with Sam Walker, he could get another club for $1 million a year.
Ooh, 850.
Something around there. He can still control a team by himself.
Yes, he can.
Play seven. You know how it is to come across a good seven, right?
Mm.
But you can't have two gun sevens in your team. It's not working for them.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the problem. I think you can have sort of two. I'd say my example would be two. I believe at his best, Mitch Moses is a six.
Yeah.
So you can have two sixes who don't get in each other's way too much. So Mitch Moses and Dylan Brown play really well because they take turns. Even Cherry was a six for
early part
of his career. So that's why
he was quicker.
Him and Fozzie worked together. They were both pretty much 5'8".
Why does Jerome Hughes and Munster work so well?
Sixes, both sixes.
They're fucking runners, mate.
Yeah.
And one just hugs that left side. They don't try and overplay each other. They complement each other better than any other halves.
Yeah.
They do, mate. And last week proved it. Money's been out the whole year. Comes back, fits straight in like a glove. Jerome Hughes takes all the runs, all that sort of shit, opens it up. It's perfect. That's the best combination in the game. Even better than Cleary and Luai.
Yeah.
When they're rolling. Because Luai, he just stays predominantly on that left side.
Yeah.
Munster can go wherever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, I think you can have obviously your seven and a six is your perfect complement for each other, which is Nathan, Jerome. But like you look at – Dill and Moses are closer to 2.58s than they are 2.7s. Well, it's proven that Dill Brown isn't a seven, like doesn't suit the seven in my opinion. Munster and Jerome are closer to being 2.6s. Kieran and Daly, when they played together at Manly for those periods, were closer to 2.6s than they were a seven and six. So it's interesting. I don't think you can have 2.7s. Like you can't have – the way I see it,
so
guys that want to be on
seven?
The ball. I think Keary and Sam Walker
both
sevens.
Halves, eh?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Newcastle, though. We're both against Newcastle. Good form line last week. Back at McDonald's Jones.
I just think about what happened to the Roosters last week and what sort of plays they got in that team. They've got a bunch of dogs that can turn it on.
Okay.
They'll be disappointed from last week.
Yeah.
and Nelly embarrassed.
Scares me. This pick scares me. Also, I'm going to be calling this game with the boys tonight. So I'm going to be on with the Hello Sports boys. Yeah, nice. Come and watch us on the stream later tonight. Should be a giggle. Always fun doing it with them. Tomorrow, first game, 6 p.m., Melbourne Storm versus your Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, mate. Tepoi Marae is the new name on the bench for Jack Howarth. In the extended bench, watch out for Big Nasty. He's in the extended bench. This is the first time he's been named on the extended bench too, mate. So yeah. We'll see if he ends up playing some time tomorrow night. As for your Bulldogs, mate, a heap of changes. Stephen Crichton is at fullback in replace of Blake Taff.
Yep.
Jacob Carraz has shifted to the centres to make way for Fox on the wing. Kurt Mann has been ruled out, which sees Jamin Semin back into the starting lineup. Mudders Curran goes into the starting back row position. And the young Chris Keating lookalike slash Jaden Brayley slash a whole heap of guys, Bailey Haywood.
What a great kid. Well done, Bailey.
Has been named grinding to make his NRL debut, while Poasa Famasuli also joins the bench. So a lot of changes, mate.
Yes. And Max King is in danger. He's got a fractured wrist, but Maxie, I think he can play.
I think Maxie King has been ruled out as well.
Yeah, so that's a really big loss. I mean, for such a great win last week, there's a fair bit of a collateral damage, isn't it?
Yeah.
It sucks.
And I guess that sort of plays into the fall off at the back end of that game as well. They had a lot of people busted at the back end of that game. Chris Pitola goes in the starting lineup as well.
He's been injured the last sort of, I reckon, 10 months.
Yep.
He's the future of the club, that kid. He's perfect size for a front rower.
Yep.
Perfect build, hits like a truck. He just hasn't seemed to be able to get on the field and play bigger minutes.
Okay.
But he's got all the attributes. He's got soft hands. He's one of your prototype props, right? 6'3", 110 kilos, can move. Hits like Solomon Hermano, bro. You know what I mean?
Just needs to get minutes
under his belt. Get him, like, you know, 25 minutes in the middle consistently. You remember a couple of years, he was going all right, and then he had a mad head clash last year.
Yeah.
So he just keeps getting injured, and, you know, when he's going like that, comes back down with an injury. Last year, he done his knee. So he's a really, really good kid. I love Chris.
We have been spoiled in recent history with young front rowers hitting the scene so quickly and just becoming stars. Tino, Payne's of the world. But most of the time, the old front rowers, generally, they normally 23, 24, 25. Yeah. That's when they hit.
That's where he's at.
That's their peak. He's still got plenty of time. I'm going to go the Storm, mate, -7.5, I think. They're the form team of the competition at the moment. And the money man looked pretty good last week. He was bouncing around, looking lively. So I think he is going to be an anytime try scorer at $3.
Well done to Bailey Haywood, too.
Yeah, congrats, mate.
Young local junior. Been in the system since he was 15. And he's just been grinding and grinding and grinding. A few injuries here and there, and now he gets his opportunity. So good on him.
Awesome. This game's going to be a grind, mate, at 8 p.m. Brisbane Broncos at home to the Dolphins for the Battle of Suncorp. This is our house, baby. Reece Walsh is
who's
back.
Who's going to say it?
We'll see. Katoni,
who's going to say it?
Katoni hit him at the end of the game. Let's see what the Dolphins have got in reply.
The Hammer's got something back.
The Hammer, he might have it in him. Nah, Hammer's he's got his trademark. Yeah, he ain't breaking away.
And then do that.
That'd be sick. Reece Walsh is back, mate. So Tristan Saylor moves to the bench. Jock Madden has been named to replace Adam Reynolds. Dean Mariner is out as well, with Corey Oates moving to the wing. And Xavier Willison is in on the bench. Benjamin Takuta looked like the player to make way, but they also had someone, Jordan Rickey, could be missing from this game as well, mate. So watch out for that tomorrow.
He's out.
As for the Dolphins, Herbie Farnworth will miss a few weeks. Therefore, Tessie New is back. Felice Kafusi also did his hammy with that try assist to Hamaso. So Mudders Bromwich is into the starting lineup with Mudders Wallace, the new face on the bench, with Mudders Milford replacing Kurt Donoghue. So shout out to Anthony Milford, Jared Wallace and Kenny Bromwich all going to be playing a big part of this game.
Reece Walsh, big in.
Yeah.
He's just got that X factor, man. The Dolphins beat those guys last year, didn't they? It was massive.
No, so Katoni gets him at the end, hits him with the their house.
Did the Dolphins beat them at Suncorp last year? I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they did, because that was the early game. Because that was all
was
the talk.
Was it our house? Was that Katoni early?
That was like week 4 or 5, because that's when Katoni was like, this is our house because they're playing.
So the Dolphins
home
won their first game, didn't they? Against the Roosters.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, they didn't. Yeah, so Broncos.
Lukey, look for us. Are you in there, Lukey? Yeah, you got to see. He's loving a look.
Yeah, Bronx. I got it wrong, because they beat the Roosters in that first game. I was thinking they got the Bronx.
The tab have got Brisbane Broncos $1.35 favourites, mate, with Reece Walsh back. $3.25 about the Dolphins, and the line is 7.5. So do you think – who do you think is going to win first?
Broncos.
Do Do you think they're going to beat him by more than a try and a bit?
Yeah, I reckon, yeah. Big. I think so. Because Kafusi's out. He's okay. A massive loss.
Yep, I agree. They played twice, Lukey?
Played twice, 24-16 in July.
Yep.
Broncos and 18-12 in March.
Okay, so they beat him twice. But it was right in that range, mate. 24-16, Lukey said, in July.
See, I'm not that sold. Yeah. Because of Bromwich and Flegler, and you got Fletcher Baker and Corey Jensen, and you got Ricky out, so I'm not sure who you're going to start. Then you just got Carrigan. The bench is quite small. Fuck, I might go to the Dolphins.
Are you going to Dolphins head to head?
Yeah.
Oh, so am I, mate.
Yeah.
I'm on the Dolphins. I like the form line of the Dolphins better this year, so I'm going to the Dolphins, but I love the +7.5 as well. We're doing our tips for the socials.
Especially with Jock Madden's in there. I mean, Jermaine has to take over a fair bit. It'll be a good game, but I think if they play to their strengths and they keep playing how they are, the Dolphins should win.
Huge game for Isaiah Katoa. He's looked great in the last couple of weeks. Oh, my anytime try scorer, by the way, is I'm going for 3 in a row on him. Hamasai Tabuai-Fido, $2.75 is overs.
Overs
for the Hammer. So give me Dolphins +7.5, Hamasai Tabuai-Fido. This is one of my favorite sort of bets of the weekend too, this one. I really like this bet. So therefore, Broncos are going to pump them. I'm really looking forward to this game. Very intriguing. It sucks that Herbie Farnsworth is missing. It would have been a good matchup with him on the right against Selwyn Cobbo.
Tessie News, he's an ex-Bronco. So
he'll be pumped for it.
Personal with him. But that would have been that would have been good.
You know what? It's good because Herbie Farnsworth was the left center.
Yeah.
And he moves to the right for the Dolphins. So he would have come up against Selwyn Cobbo for the battle of that spot from last year. So I was really looking forward to that battle.
Is it seriously?
A couple of weeks. AC joint. So he's going to miss
it. You'll be back. No, I'm joking.
Shout out to Jersey Flegler.
He's going to be filthy.
He's going to go hard.
He's going to go at Carrigan. You watch. He's going to go at Carrigan.
Okay. Beautiful. The first game of Super Saturday, the New Zealand Wahs take on the Manly Seagulls. This will be another good one at Go Media Stadium. Dallin Watson as Lesniak is back. Therefore, Adam Pompey drops out. Kirk Capewell also returns, meaning Mitch Barnett moves from the back row into prop. And then we've got a couple of new changes on the bench. As for Manly, Ben Trbojevic will start at center with Ruben Garrick. He has the 11-day stand down. Corey Waddell will start on the left edge for Ben Trbojevic, and Ethan Bullimore is the new guy on the bench who has performed well when he's played this year as well.
That'd be good.
The Tab have got the Warriors obviously favourite at $1.47, Manly at $2.70, and the line is +6.5. So it's a try favouritism towards the Warriors. Mace,
it's going to be a good game, man.
Yeah.
I'm only heading towards the Warriors because it's over there. It's a hard one. Is it Saturday night?
Saturday afternoon.
3 p.m., that's a good time.
So that'll be 5 p.m. their time, I believe. Yeah. Are they in front of us?
They in front, Lukey? I think so.
I think it's a 5 p.m. game for them.
So it's 4 o'clock.
No. We're all confused. Don't worry about it. They're going to be playing in the afternoon anyway.
Tim Selesniak being back is mad. Yeah. He just balances that whole back five out. And four, everything's unchanged. They just get stronger. Egan's getting better. Capewell's back. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, man.
You're on the Wahs?
Yeah, I'm on the Wahs.
You're on the Wahs, yeah.
No, Warriors. Warriors.
I'm on Manly. My bias gets me Manly every week, as you know, if you watch it. Same as Mace with the Bulldogs. I'm on Manly +6.5. And Tommy Turbo looks about still 80% to me.
Yeah.
But he showed some good signs. A couple of weeks ago, he streaks away in the Parramatta game. I thought the way he attacked the line in the Penrith game when he scored that try, some good signs for Turbo. So
if they're proper contenders, they'll win.
Who, Manly?
This will be the gauge. This is my gauge off these guys. If they can go to the Warriors right now and beat them or just be like that far.
This is my gauge for both teams.
Yeah, they're both. In my eye, it's these two, Brisbane and Penrith is the top four.
Oh, wow.
That's my, form-wise, right, in the last 5-6 weeks.
Yep.
Because they've shown how good they can be, Manly. I just need to put it all together.
I did the so my mate gave me a system, and it's to do with blackjack, but basically you go a point.
Yeah.
It's a point for an easy win, 0 for an undecided, and -1 for an easy, like you think they're definitely going to lose. So I did that with a few of the top teams. I come away with my minor premiership based off that system with the Warriors, Melbourne Storm and Panthers as my main candidates. They were the top three. Melbourne Storm in up by one game, because I will have them with 9 for me. Then everyone could be different, right? Yeah. Depending on how you view those games. But I had Storm being the minor premiers with the Warriors and Panthers being in second and third equal. And because Warriors have got better for and against at the moment. But the one thing I didn't account for was I think the Warriors have a real opportunity. If they win this game in particular, it'll make it even stronger. But during the origin period.
Yeah, they can get the minor premiership.
Look at all the teams. So Melbourne Storm most likely going to miss 4 players minimum during origin. Broncos roughly 5 to 6. Penrith Panthers roughly 5 to 6. Cowboys roughly 4 to 5. Warriors, the two teams that should dominate during the origin period are the Sharks and the Warriors that are thereabouts now. Now the Dolphins even. Like Dolphins are...
Yeah, they'll only have Hammer out.
They'll have Hammer. Who else? But I just don't see the Josie Flegler.
Yeah, Flegler. Yeah.
Josie Flegler. That's about it. But I just don't see the Dolphins on that level with those other teams.
The Warriors should win all of them. I don't know.
So I put some money on the Warriors to win the minor premiership at $15. The second game, and I can confirm this one is at 5:30 p.m. because it's at Parramatta Stadium versus the North Queensland Cowboys. That is the Eels. Brad's made some big changes. The wingers, but still, Mike Estevo has been a big part of their team for a long time now. He's been dropped. Morgan Harper goes into the centres. Bailey Simonson goes to the wing. Dejan Arcee comes into the halves. Blaise Talangi is 18th man. Bryce Cartwright is back from a rib injury, so Kalma Tuolangi goes to the bench. And Whitmore Greg loses his spot in the 17 after only 1 week. As for the Cowboys, Zach Labatt out for the season ACL, Tom Chester in. Our partners at the tab have Parramatta $2.25 underdogs at home. North Queensland $1.65 favourites. The line is -3.5, so a try.
What do you think of the changes would be? Is this panicking or what?
This is really I like it.
You like it?
I like it. I don't know what changes you could probably make outside of it. Mike Acevo clearly looked injured.
Yeah,
he was hobbling. Did you see him in kick returns in that Canberra game? He was like hopping back towards the line. So I know he's been injured. Dropped. But he's also injured, is clearly injured, or something's happening as well at the moment. So
Dejan Arcee, the man for 6.
Dejan Arcee looked good in some games. Morgan
Harper, better centre than the young kid, Talangi.
So it's not necessarily with Talangi, he's pretty close, mate. Yeah, Lukey's saying move closer to the mic. It's pretty close.
Yeah. Blaise Talangi, has he been given a fair shot at centre? Is he a centre? Because he's definitely not a 5'8".
He didn't look comfortable 5'8 in his first 2 games.
Fucking hard position to play.
He looked good.
Second game, he's all right. Center, I think he's a center.
Yeah,
leave him in the centers.
So I would have done that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've got. That's the only thing I would have done.
Yeah, I would have done that. Whether BA's seen something in training where he's still 19 years old, so maybe he's seen some signs of a bit of wear and tear or the effects of the losses starting to weigh down on him. There seems to be heap of chat around the young kid, Ethan Sanders, who is apparently about to sign at the Raiders.
Big raps on him, isn't it?
Yeah, all the Parramatta fans are screaming for this Sanders kid, but there's been reports that there's an unsettling between maybe Brad because he's moving on.
Sucks.
If that's the case, then that's disappointing because you just want to see the best young players coming through.
You think your coach will put the best player in there available?
Yeah, but you also understand that's not always the case. We've all been in teams, mates.
We want to win games, man.
Yeah.
Would not care. I mean, but he's not tried and tested.
And he doesn't guarantee
this
a win.
This doesn't guarantee, just because he's got a big name. Like, I hope the kid has a great career, but like, fuck, I've heard a heap of gun schoolboys get to first grade and get monstered.
I think when people now look at like the success that Ethan Strange and Lachlan Galvin are having.
Ethan Strange is the dude. He is.
Yeah.
They're both physically ready.
Yeah.
Like that Strange kid, fucking hell, he loves it.
Mm.
He's going to be his future rep player.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, I agree, mate.
A little bit of Munster about him, man.
He's got a bit of
when
money
Munster
about
when Munster was, when Munster hit the him. Scene and he was strong already. Mm. Yeah. When he got that real Mongo strength, that's what this kid's got. Yeah. When he comes off his left foot and he shakes you, I'm like, he shouldn't be able to do that. You're 18. Shaking grown men off.
Yeah, he's looking good. But
left load. He's got
let's stay on Parramatta. We'll get to him to finish off.
He's my man. I love him.
Yeah, well, I got him later on as well. Yeah. So. Where are you going on this game, mate?
Cowboys? Yeah.
I'm reluctantly going the Cowboys.
It's
going to
be a high-scoring game, like, as you pick. Yeah. I think it's going to be like 38-32 or something like that.
If Cowboys are the team who I envisioned at the start of the year because I had them in the top four, now they're sitting in there, but they haven't been convincing. Yeah. They've actually let me down. What's the word? I've been disappointed in the Cowboys because I expect with their roster, I believe they've got one of the better rosters in the competition. And although their position in the ladder is solid, I haven't seen the performances that I'd.
If they can complete it 80%, they will win most games. They're sitting around about 60-something percent. It's not good enough for the Cowboys. It's not good enough for any team. And they're still in the top four. So they're doing way more tackling than they should be.
Yeah.
The middles will be start looking at the fucking outside backs going, come on.
There's pros and cons in that too, right?
Yeah.
They're not playing great and they're still in the top four.
Yeah. So they'll be looking at that going, if we complete it 80-plus, boys, we'll win most games.
Be very hard to
stop. Because we have the attack that's fucking relentless and we can score from anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be their goal this year, this week.
The next game is the last game of Super Saturday, South Sydney Rabbitohs versus Cronulla Sharks. It's at Accor. So a couple of one debutant, Jai Gray will make his debut, mate. He's a little pocket rocket fullback. I watched him in New South Wales Cup a couple of weeks ago. He's only small in stature, but he got better as the game went on. Another guy small in stature is the hooker, Peter Mamazoulos, who has been named at 9 with Damien Cook dropping to 18th man. You're not happy with that, mate. So let me finish off, though. Tyrone Murray comes onto the wing for Isaac Thompson. Talas Duncan and Sean Kepi have been shifted off the bench, with Shaq Mitchell, Saliva Havili, and Davey Mawale all named on the bench. As for the Cronulla Sharks, Britton Nikita returns, shifting Talakai to the bench, and Kale Iro keeping his spot in the starting lineup. Well done to him.
I like that.
He looks good. Braden Hamlin Uele has also been named on the extended bench for the first time in a long time.
He's stronger. This is the dagger right in JD's heart.
Not happy with
Happy with Damien Cook getting dropped. Mm. Jeez, he's been one of the premier nines in the game for close to 6 or 7 years.
Mm.
He's been the heart and soul of that team. He doesn't deserve to get dropped. He hasn't been playing that bad. He made some clean line breaks against us a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He hasn't been doing that much. He hasn't been doing anything wrong to be dropped from the 17 in an underperforming side. You know what I mean? Like why is he picking on Cookie like that? I said, Cook, you can nullify Damien Cook by getting their forwards and dominating the middle. They haven't been dominating the middle. Therefore, Cook doesn't run that much.
Correct.
You know what I mean? But he's not doing anything bad. He's not missing tackles. He hasn't deserved to be dropped. I think it's just fucking, this is stupid.
I'm looking
at trying to lose the game.
I looked at his stats from last week, and although they got pumped, it was like, I watched the game, but I can't remember thinking during the game Damien Cook was having an awful game.
I've never looked at him and just gone, yeah, he's costing you the game.
63 minutes, 7 carries for 63, which is his strength. He's probably – because he set the bar so high, you think he's 18 post-contact meters. But where is it? He made 45 tackles, mate, with one miss – with tackle efficiency 95%.
Okay, and that deserves to get dropped. That's see weird, that? Eh? That's stupid.
That's so weird.
And this is why this is probably why he's not going to be coaching next week. He's making decisions like that. You don't do that. If Cookie's missing 10 tackles a game, he's getting spotted up, he's not running at all, his average meters is below 20, that means he should be dropped.
You know what's a stat that people don't realize? I think everyone's starting to clue onto it now, though. Yeah, missed tackles, and you don't want to miss tackles. But when you have a 9 that has a tackle efficiency of 95%,
drop him.
You're stoked with that, eh, mate?
Yeah, I want and especially because he's not noted as one of the best. He's not like a Robson. He's not like a Kenny. Hitter. But he still goes good. Yeah. He makes his tackles. If you're 90% efficiency tackle and you're running like that, and he's probably the most dangerous person on that field, but they need to go forward for him.
Mm.
Your front rows aren't finding their stomachs getting getting quick play the ball so we can get out and attack like Damien Cook does. Like, he doesn't deserve to be dropped. And I'll be the first one to say, he's been down. Yeah. He's been off. He hasn't been off.
Yeah, I don't think he's a player that – it's, again, similar to Elias. Like,
Origin player, an Australian player.
I'm going the Sharks minus 10.5.
Fuck, Sharks will pump him. Absolutely pump him.
Is this your 13 plus?
13 plus, yeah.
Oh, by the way, someone messaged us in the comments, you were Warriors last week, 13 plus. Yeah. So you're picking on the rabbit.
Got it. I just think when you're down, man.
Yep.
Confidence. And you can't have a 9 like that, the young kid who's coming in, no disrespect.
And new fullback, rookie fullback too.
Yeah,
Shout out to Dry Gray.
That's the spine.
Shout out to Dry Gray. Congratulations on your debut.
Well done, guys. But like, hey, you're going up against the fucking Sharks team that's just, what, they come off a bye?
coming off a bye.
Yeah, fresh as fuck. Got new troops by coming back in and they're ready to roll.
Yeah.
I know what Fitzy's like, mate.
Yeah, I think.
It's personal with him. He hates the fucking.
They're going to go through the
South because of his Roosters days.
Yeah, true.
So don't worry about that. And when the foot's on the throat, he's fucking, it's down.
And they're going to go through the middle and go through the middle.
Bang through the front door.
And go through the middle. Yep. And they're going to get their wingers to go through the middle.
Yep.
And they're going to see if South
no secret. What are they going to do? Can you stop us?
And I think just because he missed a couple of weeks, he's going to want to make up for it. Britain Nikita, anytime try scorer at $3.25. Sharks minus 10.5. Let's move to the games on Sunday, mate. West Tigers versus St. George Illawarra Dragons. This will be a tough one to pick. Mm. Alex Seifarth has replaced John Bateman in the back row. Bateman's out for concussion. Samuela Fainu and his brother Latu also missing the game due to injury. Therefore, Asu Kapoa, Justin Matamua, and Jake Simpkin have been named on the bench. As for the Dragons, Michael Moller has been dropped with Jack DeBellins shifting to the bench for Hamas Saleh.
Right, this is a hard one.
Yeah.
Where's
the Tab have got
at?
Campbelltown.
It's the C-Town.
C-Town.
I have to go with Tigers.
Tigers
hard
are
to beat there.
$1.80, the Tigers are favourites. St. George Illawarra, $2. The line is +1.5. So very – the Tab can't split it as well. I struggled to do it. I am going the Dragons +1.5 because I think if it's a coin flip, I'll take a maybe the Tigers win by Aiden Caesar field goal and I still get my half a point. And Ben Hunt, Ben Hunt is normally good at scoring against the lower-ranked teams. Yeah. So give me Ben Hunt anytime at $4.25.
Yeah.
But not confident
I think big Stefano, Clem – Papali'i, their packs, they're good, man. Because they've got enough class in the outside backs to get the job done. They should win this game. If they're thinking that they're the team they should beat, they should win this game.
Yeah.
But saying that, it's fucking very inconsistent.
Yeah.
St. George could fucking throw – I don't know what St. George is gonna turn up.
The Dragons are the hardest team to pick.
Oh, they're hard, mate.
In the competition. Canberra Raiders versus the Gold Coast Titans. We were talking about Ethan Strange before. There's a new young kid. He's his roomie too, by the way. I do the run club on Tuesdays with his uncle. Yeah. Chevy Stewart is making his debut.
What a name.
Imagine Chevy Stewart and Ethan Strange getting about down in fucking Canberra at the moment. He replaces Jordan Rapinoe, who's been sidelined with that knee injury that was bothering him all game.
What a tough prick, man.
Ata Mariotta has moved back to the bench for Zach Hoskin, who was arguably the forward of the competition for the first 3 weeks when he was starting. Horsburgh has
the
been
– bras out with the groin?
Yeah, he's getting that fucking – awful. He's getting that groin rubbed on the sidelines as well. Trey Mooney –
Just showing a heap of skin. The bra don't care. Yeah. He would have been nude and he wouldn't have cared.
See, he was smiling on camera.
He knew he was loving it. He knew where the camera was. He said, let me face that way and then rub my groin.
The physio goes, you want to just take you inside?
No.
Let's do it right here.
No way. let the boy watch.
Let the boys watch. Trey Mooney, they really want to keep him down at Canberra. He's a player of a heap of potential.
Yeah.
He comes in for Horsburgh. And
I like what they're doing, man.
Sissangi, they've got some nice pieces down there. Hey, we need to apologise to Canberra. Did you have him the – bottom eight as well?
No, they were not in the bottom four, no one near
it. They were in my bottom four.
They were in there. They're six. They could be 6 to 12, I reckon.
Okay.
Somewhere like, because it's going to be hard getting in the top eight this year.
Yeah.
Because I can't get a gauge on anything now.
No.
Only the top four, maybe five.
As for the Titans, Isaac Lewis joined the bench with Joe Stimson making way. Fozzie still named to play. I don't know.
Is this in Canberra?
Yeah, it's in Canberra.
It's going to be ugly.
It's Sunday night in Canberra.
Yuck. It's fucking 10 degrees. It was 10 degrees this morning.
Yeah.
What is it in Canberra? It's near zero. It's near zero, probably.
If you're the Gold Coast Titans,
I'm going down game day. I'm going down game day, chartering a flight, boom, straight in there, bus, bang, play, out.
Canberra Raiders are favourites at $1.34. Gold Coast are $3.30, understandably, for their form of late. The line is 8.5. I think I know where you're going with this, mate.
It's going to be a fucking bash up, mate.
Yeah, I think this is another big win for Canberra down there.
Canberra, like, you know what? Fuck these guys. It's a Ricky Stewart attitude adjustment.
Yeah. It's cold here.
They don't want to be here. They're from the Gold Coast, these pretty boys, this. Even though none of them from the Gold Coast, he'll run it into them. Yeah. But they want to go fucking surfing.
Born and bred Gold Coast.
All of them are from fucking Burley. Get a Burley Pav every fucking weekend with
surfing
all the Sheilas. Fucking Instagram, this and that. And none of them are on Instagram. But that's Ricky Stewart.
Hey, I'm the Raiders -8.5, and I like that young strange kid. He should have scored last week. Fucking Xavier Savage drew him like past. But
come
I think
on,
he
Savage.
Scores this week.
I like Savage. $3. I like Savage.
Love him.
All right.
Looking forward to the weekend. One sec. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858.
Joy footy.